Well, thank you for sharing those wonderful hymns of all that we all enjoy listening to and sharing together. I want to share a quick story that I remember from my time in West Virginia, and it's the tale about the young man who was standing at a crossroads where two narrow roads came together, and one day this fancy vehicle with tinted glass, it was a Lincoln Continental, came screaming down the road, and it came to a halt right there, and this boy was standing there, and the window went down, and this voice came out and said, "Son, do you know where this road heads? Where does it lead?" And the young boy said, "I don't know." And he said, "Well, can you tell me where this road leads?" And he said, "I don't know." And he said, "Well, can you tell me, do you know anything?" And he said, "I know I'm not lost." It's easy to get lost in West Virginia, let me tell you. But Jesus said he came to seek and to save the lost. He came to find those that were misplaced in life, those who were lost, and restore them. Now, the idea of lost is really a theme that we find throughout the Bible. And in fact, in the ministry of Christ, we find story after story about Jesus on this rescue mission for our salvation. And don't you agree that we've always kind of been obsessed as a people with things that are lost? We think about the Amelia Earhart, the plane that went missing, or maybe it's the Malaysia flight that we don't know what happened. It just kind of went off the radar. We think about the stories on the History Channel about the planes and the ships that were missing in the Bermuda Triangle. TVs and movies have been around this theme as well. Everything from Peter Pan and the Lost Boys to The Lost World, The Land of the Lost, Lost in Space. We live in a society that's kind of mesmerized by the lost. You're driving around and there's a poster on the side of a truck of a missing person. Or all of us get an Amber Alert of someone missing. In fact, I think these days I spend most of my time looking for something that I've misplaced. I remember, the story of my childhood when I was separated from mom and dad. I was just a little guy, and there in the sea of all those people, something happened and we got separated. And you probably remember that kind of feeling yourself. Or maybe you, as a parent, you're at the amusement park or you're in a mall somewhere and your attention is grabbed by something, and all of a sudden you look around and your little one is no longer by your side, and you can just remember that incredible, sickening feeling, that feeling of despair and lost. Your precious child is missing. We all can resonate with that. Well, we're in a series here we're calling The Call to Duty. And it's really the incredible call of God upon the heart of mankind, the heart of humanity. And we're seeing the call of God go out to people after people, all these Old Testament and New Testament people. And the call of God was placed and how they responded. And here we have a story that probably most of us are familiar with. In fact, probably introduced as a child when we sung that corny little story about Zacchaeus being the wee little man, and a wee little man was he. And we discover this story in the Gospel of Luke here in chapter 19. And here we find that Jesus is traveling through this little town of Jericho, and this large crowd is forming. Like so many other places where Jesus is traveling by, people out to see this fellow who's changing lives and changing water into wine and healing the lepers and the lame and the blind and the deaf. And he's walking through this city. Perhaps it's a parade-like atmosphere. And there's a guy here, interestingly enough, hanging out in a tree. And it turns out to be the most hated guy in the town. I mean, of all the people Jesus could have spoken to and paid attention to, he chooses the most unloved person in Jericho, the most despised, the biggest scoundrel, the most unappreciated person in town. And this story, I want to say to you, really serves to remind us of something so basic and so rudimentary. I want to call it to your attention today, especially on this day in which we are breaking bread together. I want to remind you today that you matter to God. You matter to God. And that's why this story and so many others like it are included in the gospel narrative and really just ooze out of Jesus' life everywhere he went. Lost people are why God challenged the church to exist. Now, this is really about a quick and a sharp introduction that you can find anywhere in the literary world. There's very little background that's provided here in this story. And the main character in the story is suddenly thrust onto the stage with just a very few words. He was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. And so there's three things immediately we know about this guy. First of all, his name is Zacchaeus. Now, I bet that's not on your top 10 list to name a baby in 2018. But the irony of it is the guy's name actually means pure one. And don't you think that is hypocrisy at its finest here? I mean, Zacchaeus was anything but pure. In fact, he's Mr. Corruption. And Jesus looks at him and says, "Hey, pure one, come down from there." I mean, it's probably been decades since anybody used this guy's first name. They probably called him despot, scoundrel, you know, you despised, despicable human being. You're a crook. And here's Jesus calling this man by his real name. "For I'm going to be a guest at your home today." You know, it was always the dinner with the sinner that got Jesus in trouble, wasn't it? A second thing that we know here, in addition to his name, is we discover that he is chief among all these tax collectors, which means he's the guy running the show. And he's the guy that's overseeing the whole thing. And you really couldn't pick a more hated person in all of Jericho for Jesus to speak to. And the Jewish people hated this tax collector for obvious reasons. I mean, this guy was like feeling despised, okay? And he probably had no friends, and he was probably the loneliest guy on the planet, as no one wanted to turn to him. And you talk about criticism. This guy really lived on an island and was always the target of ridicule and criticism. And there's another thing we learn, a third thing that we can find here, is that because of his position as chief, it would make him very rich. And in fact, the scripture identifies that. He didn't conduct his business affairs half-heartedly. In fact, we know from that time, if you were an older person or a widow and you couldn't pay your taxes, they'd just kick you out of the house and take your house. And that was kind of atmosphere in which these people lived. And no wonder people were incensed by this guy and all that he stood for and all that he did. And he robbed many people of their possessions. And yet there's something here that we can identify as we kind of peruse this scripture that suddenly becomes clear to us that here's a guy that's not satisfied. And hence, he's finding his way to this parade route. And so he probably doesn't like his appearance because he's just a wee little fella. And he certainly has no approval of the crowd. And he's despised by everybody. And Luke simply says Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus. And in a single snap of the finger, this guy's life is transformed. And what happens? I tell you, Jesus showed up. He's confronted suddenly with his condition. And he responds to this call. Now, this story here, I say to you, teaches us a lot of different things. But again, the one thing that I really want us to see is that you matter to God. We're coming to this moment of communion in just a few minutes, where we're going to stand face to face with God, each of us individually and personally, in that intimate moment with God as we recognize what God has done for us, for you. The transformation, the call of God that is placed to every single person. We're going to come to that moment. And no matter how small you feel in life, Jesus notices you. Zacchaeus here is very wealthy indeed, but it's also clear that he's lonely and missing something. And he hears Jesus is coming to town and he wants to see him. But being too short, he can't get a glimpse. And so he does two things that no Middle Eastern wealthy man would ever do. First of all, he runs. And that's beneath any person in that day of his position as the chief tax collector to run. That's for the Jewish slaves and others to run. No wealthy, self-respecting Middle Eastern man would run, but Zacchaeus doesn't care and he runs. Something is amiss. Something he's heard about this guy that might just bring him some relief. And the second thing here is he climbs a tree. And this is also beneath him. I mean, whether he climbs the tree to see Jesus, or maybe, as some have said, the anger of the crowd drove him to that, the sycamore tree, I want you to know, is a unique tree. And it's difficult to climb because the first limb is so high. So this guy's determined, with his stature being so small of a person, getting up the tree in the first place. And the sycamore also is a leafy tree, unlike the olive tree, which has tiny leaves. And so he could sit in the tree and he could still see Jesus, but he could also have that feeling and really be hidden by the leaves. Maybe that's why Luke here decides to include that particular detail in this text. For there is no place to hide from God. Zacchaeus thought he could spy on Jesus, perhaps without being noticed, but you cannot hide from God. And there's no tree high enough, there's no cave deep enough, there's no desert wide enough to keep away from that pleading, plotting voice of a loving God. Now, Zacchaeus, we also must acknowledge here, must have been a smart individual. And he figured which way Jesus was going to go, and he wanted to go on ahead and to get up in that tree. And can you imagine this guy is in that tree, thinking that no one recognizes him, no one sees him, and he hears Jesus stop the whole crowd, and everybody's focus is on this guy. I can imagine this guy's heart's racing. Is it like Jesus is, he's noticing me? You know, I can remember as a youngster when I was on a parade route like this, my father owned a small business for a while, and it was right in town where all the parades went through. And he had this stepladder, and he would set me on top of the stepladder, and I got everybody's attention. The clowns that were going by, the parade marshal that was passing by, and especially all the people distributing candy, right? Zacchaeus here is short, but he's smart. And he might be thinking, I'm insignificant. I'm overlooked in life, but Jesus is paying attention to me. You know, let me say this. I don't know maybe what you are going on right now, but I got to tell you, I really resonate with this text. I mean, you may feel like you're up in a tree financially, you're out in a limb relationally, you're in a hole spiritually, and nobody even knows you're there. But God knows it. God knows you're there, and you matter to God. He notices you, and he's always had his eye on you. And that's because you are special in the eyes of God and are such a sacred worth. And you may feel alone right now. You may feel the most insignificant in life, the most criticized soul on the planet. But God never takes his eye off you. Do you know what the greatest expression of love is? I find the greatest expression of love is not found in a bouquet of flowers or a box of chocolates. And it's certainly not found in a gift card to Best Buy. But the greatest is paying attention. Giving yourself to someone else. I mean, when you give yourself to someone else and pay attention and give your time to someone else, you're never going to get that back. You're giving that person a part of yourself. And when you pay attention to somebody and you look them in the eye, that child, that spouse, that friend, you pay attention and you are saying, you matter to me. It's the greatest gift. Think about it. Now, I know a lot of people grow up and they've got parents who thought it was things that their kids needed. But I find one of the keys to great parenting is just showing up. Just showing up. Sometimes we hear that phrase, attention deficit disorder. And I got to tell you something. If I had a dollar for every time I heard that phrase, watch me, Daddy, I'd be retired right now. Watch me. Watch me ride this bike. Watch me climb this tree. Watch me play my baseball game. Watch me out here on the soccer field. Our kids are craving attention. And you know, we live up living that out. We live our life saying, watch me, everybody. Watch me how, you know, I wear my clothes, what I wear. Watch me how I manicure my front lawn. Watch me in the car that I drive. There's something rudimentary about that human need to be noticed. We find that here in this very simple story. This guy felt like he was all alone, the only person on the planet, and yet Jesus stopped and he paid attention. We all crave attention. Somebody said, how many egomaniacs does it take to screw in a light bulb? And it's only one, because they hold the light bulb and the world revolves around them. I got to tell you, there are people all around you today at work, in your neighborhood, maybe even in your family, that are craving your attention. And most do not realize that awesome attention that God is paying to them every single second of their life. Oh, no matter who ignores you, Jesus knows you. And no matter what you've done, Jesus wants you. And no matter what others are saying about you, I got to tell you, Jesus affirms you. Now notice verse 6 just quickly. So Zacchaeus came down at once. He didn't wait. He didn't hesitate. I love the Message translation. It says there that Zacchaeus scrambled out of that tree. He got out of that tree as fast as he could. He opened his heart and his life was touched immediately. And now with a God who loves you this much, I mean, can you name one logical, rational, intelligent reason for saying no to the call of God? Zacchaeus here, after he's shown this love and grace, says, Lord, I'll give half of my possessions to the poor. I'll give what I've taken. That which I felt, that which I have really kicked people out of their houses, cheated people. Lord, I'm going to give half of all my possessions to the poor. You notice here he says it a couple of different times. You can circle that, I'll give. He says it twice, in fact. The moment Zacchaeus really says that, I think for me, is the moment of his conversion. And why is that here? It's because, you know, he really moved as a disciple. We move in life from being selfish to being selfless. And we find here this most selfish individual in the city became the most generous man around. Something transformed his life, and it's because he responded to the call of God. Zacchaeus experienced what the world is looking for, and Jesus had dinner with him, and he gave his life to God. You know, the difficulty I find that so many people seem to struggle with entering into the kingdom of God is kind of like the boy that had this experience where he got his hand caught in this expensive vase. He couldn't get it out. Mom and dad did everything they could. They used soap and water. They tried, you know, Vaseline and cooking oil and baby oil, and they simply could not dislodge their son's hand from this expensive vase. And just then, as they were getting ready to get a hammer or something or source to, you know, to kind of open up this vase, the little boy said, would it help if I let go of the penny down here? And you know, isn't that a great truth? Because we cause a lot of anguish in the lives of so many people because we really risk the truly valuable, because we will not let go of the things that are so insignificant. I wonder today if you hear the call of God in your life. We're coming to that moment just now. We're going to respond to that call, and we're going to come forward to this table and receive that bread and cup and be reminded once more of the incredible lengths that God went for your salvation, that you might unite with that one who created you, our Lord. And I want to give you this challenge today to take Jesus home to dinner with you wherever you go. Take Jesus home with you today, for Jesus will make a difference in your life, in your work life, in your family life, in your neighborhood, in your world. Shall we pray? God, thank you for your holy word, for that call that you place upon our lives. And oh God, we pray for those here today that maybe feel insignificant, that feel the burden of sin, that feel like they're lost and they need you. Oh, how we pray this day that your Spirit's call would go forth, and that those are here as they come to this table today would truly and earnestly seek to follow you. We pray for those here today that need that conversion moment in their life, just like old Zacchaeus. May your Spirit work in the hearts and lives of your people. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.